I'm Craig Wilson.
I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 78, for Friday, 8th of February, 2013.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, we focus on the latest major skirmish in the ongoing mobile price war. We also look at the future of uncapped on-device BlackBerry data, and we ask the question, should comparative advertising be allowed in South Africa?
As always, we pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Craig and I will pick our product or app of the week. We'll be back right after these commercial messages.
Inbox open. Do you want to enlarge your... No? Do you want a bigger... Sis? Hot singles waiting for my... What? Gross, man.
Don't get ambushed. Call for backup. Get hosted archiving and mail protection from Vox Telecom. Protect and archive your mail for half the price of an on-site server. Hosted archiving and mail protection from Vox Telecom. Backup for your business. SMS 31965 and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
Welcome to Talk Central. I'm Duncan MacLeod and we're here with Craig Wilson. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Duncan.
So, take two of the podcast. We've just had to scratch the last one after our recording application crash, so Friday afternoon, double take.
Yeah, second time lucky. We'll be a little bit tighter this time with any luck.
Sure. Well, the three big news stories we're going to cover this week are the continuing mobile price wars with Vodacom's latest announcement today, BlackBerry BIS and what's happening on that front, and also have a quick look at comparative advertising and what's happening over at Cell C. But let's kick it off with the mobile price war, Craig. Vodacom dropped a bit of a bomb on the market this morning, didn't it?
It did, or at least it certainly looks that way at first glance, right? I think with a little bit more analysis, it's certainly a great move and it's important to see. But I think, you know, we've always got to interrogate these products when they arrive.
Sure.
Do you want to talk a little bit about, I mean, there's quite a lot of history here, right?
But yeah, let's go
just briefly. I mean, Cell C started us off last year, right? When they began their 99 cents per minute to any network build per second, those sort of price packages. Vodacom then responded. MTN and Ata, meanwhile, just seem to be sitting on the sidelines watching the fight go on between these two.
Yeah, let's look a bit of the history here. It's really a story of Cell C and Vodacom. Cell C cut its prices to 99 cents per minute on per second billing for prepaid users. Vodacom responded almost immediately with a 99 cent product of its own, albeit on per minute billing. Except Vodacom managed to get itself into a lot of trouble because they didn't notify their regulator, as they're required to, that they were introducing this product. They then backtracked and said actually it was only a promotion, so they weren't required to notify the regulator. But there was a whole lot of
which
drama.
Of course then meant because it was a promotion, they subsequently pulled it.
They didn't. No, this,
well, it didn't no. pull. It ran out of time.
No, it didn't. What happened was they actually quietly let it go away. I think they realized that they actually didn't. I think they rushed into introducing a product that they didn't want in the market.
Right.
And they quietly let it die a death. They never communicated how long this promotion, which they later called it, was meant to be in the market.
Right.
It was really a backtracking from Vodacom, and they quietly let the product die.
It wasn't their most elegant move. No,
it wasn't at all.
This time around, it looks quite a lot more considered.
Subsequently, Vodacom, Cell C has introduced, has cut the price of international calls to a number of destinations, more than 50, to 99 cents a minute as well, also on per second billing. And we've seen Vodacom retaliate to that with a package of its own for 89 cents a minute, albeit you have to subscribe for the service at 5 rand a month. So it's like an opt-in, and then of course Cell C reacted to that a matter of weeks later by cutting its non-opt-in service for international calls from 99 cents to 85 cents per minute, I think on a promotional basis. So
indeed, so there's still some confusion to be had, but what we're seeing is these two going back and forth and trying to undercut each other. And as I think you pointed out earlier, Duncan, the best bit of this is that this means clearly Cell C is having an effect. You know, they must be creating churn. They must be getting Vodacom customers to move, and Vodacom is feeling the need to respond, because if Vodacom customers weren't moving and they weren't losing people to Cell C, they wouldn't respond. Why would they?
There's no doubt that there's churn going on. Vodacom, these companies run very, very good, very clever business intelligence systems. They can see what's going on in real time, what's going on in their networks in terms of churn. So there must have been churn away from Vodacom to Cell C for them to react as big as they have today. But clearly this is in reaction to Cell C's supercharge deals, which were introduced just over a week ago now, whereby if you recharge with a certain amount, you'll get a certain amount of free on-net SMS and calls. plus a certain amount of data, up to an amount, if you recharge for 500 Rand, you'll get unlimited on-network cell C to cell C calls, plus a huge amount of SMSs.
Like 1,000 SMS and 1,000 a gig of data. Yeah.
A gig of data, that's right. And it really depends, and that's valid for 30 days.
What's interesting about those packages too is that applies whether you buy 5 Rand's airtime or 500. Now, obviously, there's a sliding scale for the add-ons. And the data, for example, is not valid for very long at all if you're only buying a few Rand's worth of airtime. But it's across the board. And what's nice too is that these are very, very... these are fairly straightforward. Mm. Of course, Vodacom has an enormous advantage with its new offer that's come out today. This offer, if you make an on-net call, that's a Vodacom to Vodacom call.
This is the big thing.
Yeah, you pay 1.20 Rand for the first 3 minutes, and thereafter...
Which is the new rate.
The remaining 57 minutes of an hour-long call will be free, or at least bundled in. So you could theoretically make an hour call for 6 cents a minute, assuming, of course, as we said, that this is Vodacom to Vodacom. And this is Vodacom taking advantage of the fact that it's got the biggest market share. There are enough people who, you know, whole families, doubtless, who are all Vodacom customers, for whom this sort of offer makes a lot of sense. What Cell C's challenge is, its on-net packages arguably offer less value because there are so fewer subscribers on its network.
Indeed, although it must be borne in mind that this is permanent billing on this 1.20 Rand a minute they've introduced now, so it's actually significantly more expensive than 99 cents per minute. Per second billing on Cell C. So the basic rate on Vodacom is significantly more expensive, although you get more value in terms of the free on-net calling airtime and the fact that you're more likely to be calling a Vodacom number than a Cell C number just by virtue of the fact that there are far more Vodacom customers in South Africa than there are Cell C customers.
But I said that per minute is a really, really important caveat. We've seen this before. As you said, last year Cell C's offer was 99 cents per second billing from the first second. Vodacom's offer at the time on that promotion was 99 cents per minute. And, you know, if you do the maths, it works out to 30 to 40% more expensive a rate.
Yeah.
And as you and I have talked about at length, I really feel that ICASA should put its foot down and stop this practice. I feel like permanent billing simply shouldn't be allowed.
Agreed. Craig, it's the mandate of ICASA to regulate in the interest of consumers. And if there was ever an issue that's to the benefit of consumers, it's forcing the operators to introduce or to mandate that the operators all offer per second billing across all their products all the
Absolutely.
Time.
It's a transparency issue. Mm. This is what it boils down to. This is simple and unambiguous, and if you're billing per second from the first second, everybody understands how it works.
Yep.
But a lot of people don't realize that the per second, the per minute billing, or they just don't pay attention. Mm. They just see the rate and they don't bother to inquire as to which way it's billed. And it's a practice I look forward to seeing the back of in years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so interesting new developments in the market. I can only wait for MTN and ATA to respond. I've been surprisingly quiet around this whole thing. Craig,
they've had some packages out, but they haven't really made
Mahala,
a big noise.
They've reintroduced this Mahala Thursday, whatever that means.
They've also got these on MTN, that was the Mahala.
What did I say?
ATA, meanwhile, has some sort of on-net special of its own, but this, again, it faces a similar problem to Cell C. On-net specials just have far less appeal when you're a small network.
Yeah.
But yes, at least, these are all good signs. I suspect that this is a topic we're going to come back to a lot as the year progresses. Probably at least once a month, somebody's going to do something. So
yeah.
Exciting and watch the space.
Absolutely. So interesting times. Let's move on. BlackBerry. There's been a lot of confusion over the last few weeks about the BlackBerry Internet Service, which is this... package available from the operators and sold by BlackBerry, which allows consumers to get unlimited on-device data on their BlackBerry devices for a low monthly charge, typically around 59 Rand a month or less. There's a lot of confusion in the market at the moment since BlackBerry, formerly called Research in Motion, introduced and that were announced BlackBerry, the new BlackBerry 10 platform. It appears that there's going to be no BIS in BlackBerry 10 to speak of. BlackBerry 7, which is the older operating system, I'm not sure what happened to versions 8 and 9.
No, me neither.
But the older platform, BlackBerry 7 and earlier versions, there's a lot of confusion about whether this unlimited BIS service is going to continue beyond the 1st of March, and we're getting no clear answers from BlackBerry and certainly no clear answers from the operators. Craig, you've been following this.
No, indeed. Well, also we've got them sort of... BlackBerry is saying that it's the operator's onus to decide how it bills for things, both in terms of existing BIS services and in terms of how it's going to bill or what packages it's going to offer the new BlackBerry 10 devices on, specifically the Z10, which is due out at the beginning of next month on all of the major networks. And we haven't heard anything from the networks either. You know, everyone is either passing the buck or keeping quiet about it. It's going to be interesting to see what they opt for. But frankly, there's a great deal of mystery surrounding this. And I feel like it's a bad thing that there is all of this uncertainty, particularly because there are going to be people, sure, perhaps not enormous numbers of them, but there are going to be people who are holding out, who have waited, who perhaps want to give this new BlackBerry device a chance, and whose decisions are being, you know, at the moment having to be put on hold because they just simply don't have enough information to make an informed decision. I feel like, you know, there are people who have been waiting for upgrades who may, in the meantime, get tired and just pick something else. I feel more information would certainly be better. And that was the one thing that you and I felt was missing from the presentation last week.
Yeah.
At the big launch on Wednesday, was the one thing we didn't have was any indication of pricing. And really, you know, pricing is going to be absolutely crucial in deciding whether or not these new devices are successful. And whether or not BIS hangs around is going to be equally important in seeing how popular the BB7 platform and the current devices that run on it are, and how popular they remain.
For sure. Well, Craig, you're off to you're actually off to Canada, to RIM's or BlackBerry's head office in Waterloo near Toronto tonight, into sub-zero temperatures, commitment to the cause, hey?
Indeed, indeed. Two pairs of gloves.
Two pairs of gloves, thermal underwear, and the rest, I think, -7 you saw was going to be when you arrived there this weekend.
Thereabouts, yeah. It's nice to have something to look forward to, isn't it?
Anyway, you're going to be over there talking to Thorsten Heinz, the CEO, and a number of the top BlackBerry executives, so...
Putting some tough questions to them. So let's hope that we get some clarity and some more insight into a bit more of a sort of BlackBerry strategy and where they're going.
Absolutely. And one of those questions, no doubt, will be around BIS and what's going to happen to it.
Absolutely. So look out for some of those stories on the site early next week.
Great stuff. Good, Craig. Let's move right along to our regular segment of winner and loser of the week. Our winner this week, I think we've already kind of hinted at, it's South African consumers for what we're seeing in the mobile price war situation that's going on at the moment between Cell C and Vodacom. Maybe we should say Cell C and Vodacom customers are the winners. We still have to see a reaction from ATA and from MTN, but certainly South African consumers are benefiting from the price skirmishes we're seeing between the mobile operators at the moment.
I'm certainly interested to see. I'd love to know, but of course they won't tell us what the churn figures have been on the likes of MTN and ATA because of their lack of participation in this battle.
Well, you can be sure if there's noticeable churn away from MTN that MTN will react as well.
Indeed.
Maybe consumers love that MTN Zone product. Personally, maybe I'm too stupid to understand it, but I can't make head or tail of those rates or know what I'm calling at any particular time.
No, me neither. But yes, this week's winner, South African consumers, and cool. Let's hope it stays that way for a while.
Now, loser is Look and Listen. Why?
So Look and Listen this week made a very peculiar announcement. They said that they will no longer be selling product online. Not just physical product, but digital downloads. And one would think that the overheads for digital downloads wouldn't be particularly high. But I had an interesting chat with Look and Listen CEO Darren Levy earlier this week. We were prompted by an announcement on the website that says from the 12th of February, they'll no longer be selling product online. They will, however, fulfill existing prepaid orders. And they won't be selling digital downloads. And Levy says the reason for this is simply a numbers game. He says when it comes to physical product, the market for online sales for CDs and DVDs and headphones and this sort of thing is simply not big enough in South Africa to justify the expense of running the sort of online side of their business. And he says from a digital perspective, despite them being one of the first people in South Africa to offer legal downloads alongside the likes of Nokia Music, he says it's the same problem. It's simply not a numbers game, and there's just not enough money to be made in this market. Moreover, there's just too much competition.
I can understand the digital side. I mean, you've got Apple here now with iTunes, the iTunes Music Store, and that sort of thing. But on the product side, I can only imagine that they're simply not competitive against the other retailers like Take a Lot and Kalahari.
Indeed, and of course now we're seeing other people, other people come into the space. We've got a lot of the importers as well who'll get you, you know, arcane or unusual items. Then we've got more electronics and things. Look and Listen's also been stocking, iPods and this kind of thing. We've also got the likes of Orange bringing in electronic equipment now, and there is a lot of competition in the space, but it does feel distinctly like a step backwards. It seems like a store that is going back to being more bricks and mortar and less online is really taking quite a gamble.
I agree. It's a very strange move indeed, and for that reason, Look and Listen is our loser of the week. App and product of the week time. Craig, do you want to kick yours off?
Sure. So, you know, we really like beautiful products around the office. Every now and then you get something that, you know, we can be a little bit jaded. We see a lot of phones, a lot of tablets, a lot of laptops. But a laptop that arrived this afternoon.
Whoa. Got our attention indeed.
Oh, it did. Duncan and my jaws, our jaws dropped. It's the new Acer Aspire S7. And this is their top-end Ultrabook. We weren't that impressed with their last range of Ultrabooks. We've seen some of their middle-of-the-range devices too in this sort of market segment. But, oh, this one's a beauty. We got the device in white.
So thin and light.
Thin, incredibly light. I'm not even sure what the weight is on it, but it's got to give the MacBook Air and the Samsung Series 9 run for their money in terms of weight.
Oh, yeah.
The display... Touch display 1920
as well,
by 1080.
Which is a great resolution for a touch display.
Especially on a 13-inch device. Mm. Keyboard, it's a sort of chiclet keyboard. Absolutely beautiful. The keys are very, very flush.
The keyboard.
Such low profile.
I haven't played with it extensively. I've typed on it for perhaps 5 or 10 minutes. But I can actually say already that is the best keyboard I have ever seen on a laptop computer. It's that. Right.
You heard it here first, folks. So the model we're looking at is the really, really top-end one. It comes with a, 220-odd gig solid-state drive.
Well, our review model comes with a 220. And
this one's with a Core i7 processor. There's also another model with a Core i5 and the smaller 128 gig SSD.
Yeah.
But this particular model, you're looking... It's not going to be cheap, Duncan. They're looking at $1,650. So given the current exchange rate...
That's for the i7 model.
That's for the top end, yes. But, you kind of want the top end, don't you?
No, you do.
And you're looking at about... I mean, given the current exchange rate, that's going to mean at least sort of 18 to 20,000 Rand.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's not cheap. Unfortunately, it can't compete with the MacBook Air on price. But
the MacBook Air doesn't have a touchscreen.
No, indeed. Mm. And this is just... staggeringly beautiful device.
Yeah, and if you look at the 13-inch MacBook Air and chuck a 256 or 220 gig SSD in there, you're looking at a similar price. Yeah.
That's indeed. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, Apple, I think at this point, are going to have to respond with some touch devices at some point. And this also makes, you know, you have to wonder, they've been wanting to increase the resolution. They've been wanting to do the Retina displays, but can they do Retina and touch and still keep them competitively priced?
Apple can't do touch because they don't have a touch-based operating system. They're going to have to completely rewrite Mac OS X.
And if they put iOS on, they're going to alienate a lot of people, including this journalist right here.
Sure, of course. iOS doesn't work on a laptop.
Don't want my Mac OS to look more like iOS,
but
frankly.
Then some big hints just this last week I've been reading, I think on The Verge or one of the international websites, that Apple may be planning a major overhaul of both iOS and Mac OS X this year.
Right, indeed. Anyway, before we gush too much, we'll have a full review of that Aspire S7 up on the site in coming days. We've only just sort of skimmed the surface, if you're interested in this sort of thing, do give that a read, and we'll see how it performs when we actually put it through its paces. But first impressions
are good.
Very good indeed.
Great. Craig, my pick this week is an app that runs on iPhone or iOS and also on Android. It's called Umano. It's a newish app, I believe. It's interesting. It takes news entries, magazine and newspaper articles from the US and gets people to read them, record them, and you can then pick them up and have them read back to you. It sounds a bit strange, and you can't...
I can see the appeal.
You can't... decide what news sources you want access to. It decide the copy tasters at Umano decide what they believe will be the most interesting stories of the day.
Well, and probably what they've paid the rights for too.
No, sure, if they have. But really, really cool little app, and actually some really interesting stories. It seems to update every 10 minutes or so. So there is a lot of content.
Are there some big name sources that they're getting profiled? I see things like the Harvard Business Review.
Business Insider, Slate, The Ratchet. I've never heard of that one. Forbes Magazine, The Huffington Post, Wired, Time, Mashable.
Right, so a good selection
of stuff here. And it's not just tech, it's across the board, although there's a little bit of a tech slant, not surprisingly. It's not machine read. It's read by human beings and good quality readers and some really interesting content. So I think I'm going to play a little sample here. Oh, by the way, if you can also go through it in the morning and just scan through the headlines, and if you just hold down for a sec on the headline you like, it'll download the article for playback at a later time.
And that's just a great feature, particularly because you can see the appeal for, say, commuters or people who go to the gym or go for a run and who don't want to be streaming that, particularly given our cost of data.
Sure. Now, here, let's play a sample app just so that listeners to this podcast can hear it. Here's one, for example, from something called PS Mag, the economics behind the Monopoly board game. So let's take a listen to this. It's loading.
The meaning of Monopoly, posted on PS Mag. Monopoly has been much in the news lately, not because the Obama administration has suddenly assumed the guise of a vigorous antitrust cop, but because the toy company Hasbro is making a conspicuous change to its flagship board game. In a contest...
So, there we go. It's you get the idea. Really cool little app. It's worth checking out. It's available in the Play Store and in Apple's App Store, and it's called Umano. That's U-M for Mary, A-N for Nelly, O.
Fantastic.
Great, and that's all the time we have for this week, Craig.
Duncan, I suppose as usual, those people listening who want to comment can leave a comment under the post, or they can drop an email to info@techcentral.co.za.
Great stuff, yeah, and I think that's about all the time we have for this week. I'm going to get this file saved before we lose it again, and Craig, you must have a great time in Canada, and look forward to your reports from Waterloo.
Thank you, me too.
Cool. Well, until next time then, from myself, Duncan, and Craig Wilson, take care and cheers.